Praise God. Well, this morning we're going to go back into the subject of divine destiny. This is a subject that, I never really taught on this before. The Lord dealt with me to teach on it, and really, I'm going into it a whole lot more than anybody had taught me about it. God started dealing with me with the subject, and I started looking into this subject when He. Others talked about it, and I got revelation on it, and then I began to look to the things of the scriptures, because it's number one, it doesn't matter just what people say, we have to have scripture for the things we're talking about. Got to be able to see it in the scripture. And so this is what's important, and we're going to be looking in the areas today, and I want us to, we start off in this, we're going to be talking about divine judgment concerning divine destiny, because it's an important subject. Sadly to say, judgment is not a subject taught in the church, especially among the faith people. And it's sad because we're living in a day and time where most of the church world, and even the people we call faith or people or whatever, spirit-filled, whatever, they're as ignorant on the subject as everybody else is in the church. And they don't understand it. They don't understand why God is. We need to understand judgment. We get the idea of just a negative things, but we need things. What if nothing was ever judged? Aren't we having fun? I mean, some of these things on the news where judges are just letting people, criminals out in the street. That's because of lack of judgment. And see, this is why in the church world, we have a lot of mess in the church today, because nothing's judged. The church is supposed to judge things within its own self. I mean, I could go into the scriptures. We go to Paul, talk to the church at Corinth about judging things. He said, what's the matter? Is none among you can judge? He talked about God turning him over to Satan. Church is supposed to turn him over to Satan, destruction of the flesh. You know, didn't God say, I'll take care of that? If the church didn't take care of it, it didn't get done. And so we need to understand, if the church is ignorant on the subject, there's a lot goes on in the church, and there's a lack of much blessing in the church because of not understanding the subject. And what happens is there's no fear of doing wrong. I was raised in a home, and I had a fear of doing wrong. Amen. Because my parents would punish me. Amen. There wasn't a fear, a bad fear. If you don't have a fear of doing wrong and you ain't going to get punishment for it, you don't have a fear. If you don't think that's going to happen to you, well, you don't care. There's good. I know that you can quit certain things, they'd probably lock you up in jail. I worked in a prison, and we had prisoners in there. We had people, Christians. We even had pastors end up in jail doing stuff. And they thought they should have been treated better because, they're a Christian. Say, no, you, there's more expected out of you. There's more expected. You need to understand this. God will judge us quicker on the level that we understand and know things. As we as Christians, we know that to him who much is given, as much is required. Mm-hmm. So we need to understand this subject, because keeping ourselves out of trouble, it's just a good thing. Amen. I don't want to be my own worst enemy. I was for years. Amen. And I see people who are Christians, they're their own worst enemy. It ain't the devil. They're their own worst enemy. And see, this is why, we did. Today, I really feel sorry for a lot of young people in this world, because they're really not raised very well. They don't have a fear of anything or doing anything wrong, and there's nothing. And I thank God my parents taught me. I always am so glad I had the parents I did. I'm glad they didn't pat it on his head all the time and think he was always cute. Sometimes they pat me on the head pretty hard. Get my attention. Which was good. I mean, it's good that they did. My parents didn't treat us bad or evil or anything like that. But they taught us about, you're praised for good, and if you do bad, you don't get no praise, and there's no reward for being bad, Amen. And so I was glad of that. We want to look at things. We're going to deal with judgments, because if we deal with things, I made this statement that not last week, but the week before in teaching on this subject. Last week was Easter, and the Lord gave me a message for that. But I made a statement that Jesus couldn't just up and forgive everybody's sin. God had to carry out the judgment for all humanity's sin before he could forgive. In other words, when a crime was committed, it is a requirement by law to carry out justice. See, we don't know about justice in the church. We think, you know, because God's merciful, he's not just. Oh, yes, he is. He's righteous and he's just. And he will carry out justice. God does not reward a person doing evil like he rewards the person who does good. Everybody puts everybody in church in the same category. No, we're not.
Amen.
We're not in the same category. There's Christians that they ain't in line for any reward. All they can get from God is mercy. Because they can't get reward because they have done well. See, I don't want to just operate on mercy. I want to have some good stuff. You know, I get to heaven, I want to have called reward. Rewards for what you do here.
Amen.
There's many Christians going to go to heaven, they're going to have no reward. Well, they get to heaven, thank God, they get to heaven. But they have no reward there because they have not laid up any treasures in heaven. They've been doing all their thing here on the earth and doing and slipping by and doing whatever. We don't want to do that, you know. There's a life to come. And, you know, I've learned this. I mean, life goes by in a hurry. It's going by really quick. Hallelujah. It won't be long. I'll tell you, if I could live to 100, it won't be long till I'll be with Jesus. I don't know. It's going by so fast. I mean, the years are like a couple months now. So it's zinging by. We're going to look at some things dealing with the kings in Israel because these things deal with patterns in the scripture about how God deals with things. Now, I want you to understand this as we go into this, because dealing with judgment, judgment's done on different levels and things, on people, on authority. So how judgments are carried out. Now, we need to understand this is judgment. You know, the apostle Paul wrote to the church of Galatia in the 6th chapter, 7th verse. He said, God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. Now, Paul wrote that specifically to Christians. That wasn't written to the world. In other words, Christians need to know what is sown, you're going to reap. He didn't say, if you ask God forgiveness, you won't reap it. What you sow, you reap. Things you do in this earth can either, they can cost you for the rest of your life. People know this. How many people gone along and they turn around and marriages separated and gone, it don't ever get corrected. Cost you for your life. It don't matter if you're a Christian. You know, I was ministering in Moundsville Penitentiary years ago. It's many years ago now. But there was a man in there, a wonderful Christian prisoner. Guy who was on fire from God. But he was in prison. He was a Christian. He was even a spirit-filled Christian. Got away from God. Got into drugging and carrying on. End up killing his wife and kids. And he's there for a life term in prison. He's there in prison. The whole thing of it is, see, God will forgive him anything he did. But he's reaping what he sowed. You can ask God to forgive you. That don't mean what you sow goes away. You know, two young people get together and have sex and a baby shows up. The baby don't disappear because you ask God to forgive you. He will forgive you. But now you got something to deal with. And it's a lifetime of something to deal with. Mm-hmm. We don't teach us. I have heard major spirit-filled ministers act like everything goes away if you're dead. And you know, see, I found that in prison. This is what a lot of people are taught. When I worked in prison, these guys would come along and, you know, they would go the Jesus route, you know, the jailhouse Christians, you know. There's always the jailhouse Christians. It's loaded with them. But you always find out there's only like maybe 1 or 2% are still Christians. When they get out of jail, they just go back to their junk again and right back in their rot. And as it is, well, and they get in there, well, God forgives me. Why don't they let me out of prison? And I used to tell them, you don't need ever to get out of prison until you learn why you're in here. This is your learning experience. I can't stand these people who are always trying to get people out of jail. If they haven't come to the knowledge of why they belong there, they get out, all you're doing is letting trouble back out again.
Come on. Preach.
So you can do that to your children. You don't teach your children and let them suffer long enough to learn something. Well, you're going to put up with more misery. Don't ask other people to pray for you.
Amen.
And help with your kid as long as you're around. Let's be honest. See, there's things people need to learn. And we don't like that today. We don't like that. But I found out about those things. You know, the trying of your faith worketh patience. I found out sometimes I had to be patient for a long time. Boy, a lot longer than I wanted to. See, people talk about suffering long. You might have suffered long, but you might have not done it patiently. You didn't learn a thing.
Come on.
Suffering long don't mean nothing. But if you can suffer long patiently, you got something now.
Amen.
You got something. You learned something. You got somewhere. But in the Kings, what I want to do is I want to go and from 2 Kings. Now, I'm going to name some scriptures, but I'm not going to go read through some of these. But we're going to look at some kings in 2 Kings. We're going to break into here and look at kings because a pattern that God starts to show. There was a king, his name in 2 Kings, the 15th chapter. If you go there and read this, you'll find there was a king. His name was Jotham. Now, Jotham, he was a guy, he did right. He followed God. He walked with God. And so he did right. Well, when he died, he left in the same in 2 Kings, in the 16th chapter, there's King Ahaz. Well, King Ahaz didn't do good. King Ahaz didn't follow God. And what happens here is he comes along. What he did, if you read down through from 2 Kings, the 16th chapter, 1 through 20, you find out he followed the evil kings of Israel. Now remember, there's Judah and Israel at this time. Israel is broken up into two different kingdoms because of what Solomon did and not walking with God right in these later days. But he did evil. He sacrificed his children in the fire. One of his sons, he did. He offered sacrifices and burnt incense in the high places following the abominations of the nations who the Lord had cast out of the land, it says. So this guy did evil and followed out after things. Now, the last time we met, we talked about Hezekiah. After him, this guy's doing all this stuff. Then comes along, he has a son, Hezekiah. And it is funny because Hezekiah don't follow his daddy. You know. And Hezekiah ends up following God. So in 2 Kings in the 18th chapter, it talks about, there's quite a bit said about Hezekiah. These also, you can go over and read some things in Chronicles too about these kings, which would do you good to go read. Because when you go over and find out, because it gives you more information. Some is given in First and Second Kings. Some is given over in First and Second Chronicles. We'll add a little bit. One or the other might say some things and sort of gives you a bigger picture. But Hezekiah came along. Now, in 2 Kings in the 18th chapter, I'm going to read verses 4 and 5 to you. It says there what he did. Here's the basis of what he did. He removed the high places, broke down the sacred altars, cut down the wooden images, and broke in pieces the bronze serpent that Moses had made, for until those days the children of Israel burnt incense to it and called it Nehushtan. And he says, he trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor were before him. So this guy really went after God. He went after him and went after God. Now we want to find this out because going along, we need to realize there's things dealing with judgment. And so we come along and we read this the last time about Hezekiah before he left in the 20th chapter of 2 Kings. The prophet Isaiah had come to Hezekiah. It was after Hezekiah was healed and things and came along, and there was the king of Babylon. There were some of Babylonians came down and he was showing them around his kingdom and he was showing off all the stuff he had, you know. He was showing off what God blessed him. In other words, he was showing, but it's going to be a problem. In 2 Kings, the 20th chapter, verse 16, it says, then Isaiah said to Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord. Before the days are coming, when all that is in your house and what your fathers have accumulated until this day shall be carried into Babylon, nothing shall be left, says the Lord. And they shall take away some of the sons who will descend from you, whom you will beget, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. So Hezekiah said to Isaiah, he said, the word of the Lord which you spoken is good, for he said, will there not be peace and truth, at least in my day? So in other words, things were held off for a period of time. Now, God is speaking about this because it's very interesting. Here's a king that really God brags on. This guy here, he's done so well. Nobody like him before, nobody like him after. This guy's doing good. What has happened? Now, he is a guy who came out from his father. He walked right and his dad didn't. Now he has a son, and he has a son called Manasseh that comes along next. Manasseh is the most evil of the kings. He's as evil as it gets. He did more evil than anybody had ever done. And so I just want to read to you here concerning him. In 2 Kings in 21, it says about this king. It says Manasseh was 20 years old when he became king. He reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. His mother was Hephzibah. And it says, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord according to the abomination of the nations from whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. For he rebuilt the high places which Hezekiah his father had destroyed. He raised up altars for Baal, made wooden images as Ahab king of Israel had done, and he worshipped all the host of heaven and served them. He also built altars in the house of the Lord, which the Lord had said, in Jerusalem I will put my name. And he built altars for all the host of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. Also he made his son pass through the fire, practiced soothsaying, using witchcraft, and consulted spirits and mediums. He did much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him for anger. He even set a carved image of Asherah that he had made in the house of the Lord, and said to David, to Solomon his son, in this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen out of the tribes of Israel, I will put my name forever. Now I want you to understand this. This guy did something, and what's the worst that he did? It isn't that he was worshiping other. It's what he did in the house of God. None of the others had done that. Now, who's the house of God today? What are you putting in you? See, we need to understand this. I'm just going to tell you, the Bible talks about Rehoboam, who was the son of Solomon. And Rehoboam, you know, he turned around and he did a big dummy. He was the one that why Israel split. And the king of Egypt came up and took over Jerusalem and that stuff and took all the treasures out. And Solomon had all this gold stuff. It was like the shields and stuff that the guards in the temple areas and stuff wore, and that stuff, they had gold. Well, they end up, you know, the King James says brass and other translations say bronze. See, he had ones made. And I've heard numbers of different preachers talk about, people preach sermons on it and teachings on there, exchanging gold for brass. And I just want to tell you this. We have, the church world has a lot more brass than it does gold. Christians don't realize within themselves how much brass they got and how much gold. We turn around, it's like when you deal with, from a cultural standpoint, here in America, our culture has gotten so deep-seated and all these things going on. There's many things that was never acceptable at all in the church world when I was growing up. None of the church world. And today, it's commonplace. It's commonplace everywhere in all the churches. Christians really don't have much dedication or anything. We need to know what happens. What we accept things. Everybody else is doing it. It's okay. Everybody else, it's all right. But we need to understand those things affect us. Amen. See, we're the house of God. Amen. We need to know we ain't carrying idols in. Amen. And setting up things. You know, we're singing songs today. You know, Jesus be the center of it all. And I'm sorry, in a lot of church world, Jesus ain't the center of things. You know, people make excuses for him more than they do. But, you know, is getting over, is he head of the church? You know, I'm just doing the thing, if Jesus said it, then it's, you know, there's nothing else to say about it.
Amen.
You know, some people say, well, what do you think about that? Don't matter what I think, Jesus said. It don't matter what I think on the subject. And so we need to understand this. So what happened? This guy went so far as to doing this. In other words, he went beyond anybody in what he did. And he is so pagan. And in 2 Kings the 21st chapter, and I'm just going to read, pick up verse 10 down through. This is what's said concerning him. And this was spoken to him by the prophet. It says, and the Lord spoke by his servant the prophet, saying, because Manasseh, king of Judah has done these abominations. He has acted more wickedly than all the Amorites and who were before him, and has also made Judah sin with idols. Therefore, thus says the Lord God of Israel, behold, I'm bringing such calamity upon Jerusalem and Judah that whoever hears it, both his ears will tingle. And I will stretch over Jerusalem the measuring line of Samaria and the plummet line over the house of Ahab, he said, I'll wipe Jerusalem as one wipes a dish, wiping it and turning it upside down. So I will forsake the remnant of my inheritance and deliver them into the hand of the enemies, and they shall become victims of plunder to all their enemies, because they have done evil in my sight and have provoked me to anger since the day their fathers came out of Egypt into this day. Moreover, Manasseh shed very much innocent blood till he had filled Jerusalem from one end to another, besides in his sin, beside which he made Judah sin in doing evil in the sight of God. See, this guy was trying to read about him. He offered his sons to Moloch in the fire and stuff. They burnt children as into sacrifice. And, well, we're no better today. I mean, we don't do any better. I mean, we've become more, you know, abortion is no big deal in America. People say, we're spending all money trying to save kids, and that's good. But the babies have died. Who cares? You know, it don't matter. I mean, we got the state of New York. You can abort a child up to the time of 9 month birth. We can do that. I'm going to tell you what. America's in big trouble.
Yes.
And see, we have been taught none of this. See, one of the things that really hurt us was back into the, you know, 70s and 80s, and they went up through talking about Jesus coming, how glorious things are going to be up the church. And the church ain't ready for the time they're in. They told us, and I'm sorry, they were wrong. I ain't trying to run them down. We could have read the Bible too, but people chose that. We just like to listen to hear good stories. We want somebody to tell us everything wonderful is going to take place and happen. Well, it's not.
Amen. Preach.
That's why we ain't got very many good prophets. They're not preparing people. They're telling people all kind of stuff that ain't true. And but we need to know there's judgments. You know, the COVID virus, that was judgment. That was judgment. People need to understand, God is merciful and he's so gracious and he's so kind. He is long-suffering. We're to find out here about him being so long-suffering, because he surely is. And we need to get ourselves, get our heads wrapped around the fact of he pronounced judgment here. And we're going to find out that judgment never got lifted. That judgment stays. See, God said, I'm going to do this. God never says, I'm going to do something, and then, well, I changed my mind now. We're not going to do that. No, it's going to stay. It's that judgment. There's judgment. See, this is why the Lord had me start off with this thing with Kenneth Hagin and his vision of the 1950s. The pronouncement of judgment, which the church has ignored. Even the people say, well, you know, we're you know, followers after his teaching and that. Well, they didn't follow very well. This stuff's not getting taught. And we need to understand there's judgment at hand. I mean, let me read something. Kenneth Hagin said 30 years after that vision time, he made this statement about that vision. He's talked about over the years as he's looked at that. He said this, judgment came. And he said, judgment is yet to come. He said, the only thing that can save America from the judgment of God is genuine repentance and a turning to God. Haven't seen that yet. Haven't seen that. We haven't seen those things. See, we need to understand there's things we can hold off, but I'm just going to tell you, judgment that's pronounced will eventually come. There's things you can do to hold off that judgment. Hezekiah held off judgment. We're going to find there's others was the same way. After the death of Manasseh, he had a son, Amnon, who took over. He did evil, but he only lasted 2 years. They killed him. They assassinated him. And then it's interesting. because they turned around and killed the people who assassinated him. They killed him. But then he had Josiah, his son, was made king. Now, it's very interesting. So we go down through and we find here Josiah says he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. So this one here he did. And if we go to in 2 Kings in 22, says this about Josiah. In verses 1 and 2 says, Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jedidiah, it says, the daughter of Adiah of Bozkath. It says, and he did what was right in the sight of the Lord and walked in all the ways of his father David. He did not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. So he did all that was right. He followed after God. So it's interesting. We have these breaks in between. And you're going to find this out about this guy, because what he becomes is really the pronouncement of this judgment, but he becomes a reprieve by God to stop this judgment. But it's just stop it for a time. It's not gonna go away. That judgment's coming. That judgment's going to come out. See, this is why you need to understand this. When people do things, even as we as Christians, and we do things, God may forgive us, but there's things of judgment come along, and it especially like an authority. I see this where parents don't realize they do things, they walk along and they do stuff, and judgments end up coming down on their kids because of the things and the way they walk. See, we don't do it. We come from this generation. Well, this is just my life, you know, and I just, no, it ain't. Your life, you're an authority of something or other. See, we have today all this mess in America. We have all these kids raised that aren't in families. There's mothers and fathers ain't there. And you know, we're on this thing of, these mom raising their kids by themselves, and we want to take care of this. But I'm sorry, it's all out of the will of God. Amen. And it ain't turning out good. Amen. And it ain't pumping out good people. And we say, well, God loves everybody. Yes, he loves everybody, but everything ain't turning out good. I don't care how much he loves you. If you're out of his will and things, there's prices you pay.
Amen.
And we need to understand this stuff. You know, men, you need to take your authority in your family. You need to become a spiritual leader, not just a worker. You become a spiritual leader. You're the head of the house. That's what you are. See, in America, we don't have that. Men aren't heads of the house anymore. The church has moved the man out of the head of the house. It's we have a tag team. Well, in our house, we don't. Because God don't have a tag team.
Amen.
Now, that don't mean you control everything, right? But you're a leader. You're supposed to run and handle things. You know, it's like me. If it ain't going right, it stops here. Where did I mess up? See, the reason people don't want to be in charge today, nobody wants to be responsible. And the people who always say they want to be in charge and call the shots, they never want the responsibility of calling the shots when their shot don't go right.
Right.
You know?
Amen.
I found that out a long time ago. You know, when I worked at East Reed Candy Print, all people that knew what ought to be done and everything else, you say, well, okay, would you like to be in charge? No, I don't want that. I say, well, then shut up and sit down and keep your mouth shut.
Amen.
If you don't want the responsibility, don't be, you know, this I found out, anytime you're in place of responsibility, you're going to have people don't like what you do or whatever it is. And you know what I think about it? I don't care. Because you can't live your life like that. And you know, sometimes we might make good decisions, sometimes we might make the best decision, but it doesn't matter. Somebody's got to be in charge. There's no such thing as two people in charge. It's like I always agree with Kenneth Hagin said. He said, anything that's more than one head's a freak. And this is why. Most American marriages are freaks.
Freaks.
Most Christian marriages are freaks.
Amen.
We need to understand the difference of things. You know, people, well, I don't know why my mate does or what they do. Well, what'd you marry him for? That just shows how you weren't bright. How would you know they're doing right? You weren't. We couldn't even marry the smart person. So how would you know? See, he sure gets meddling, don't he? See, if I made a mistake with my life, that's my fault.
Amen.
Wouldn't be anybody else's.
Amen.
No, we always want to throw it to something else, you know?
Preach.
We didn't seek God long enough to find out how it would turn out if we did it that way. No, at the time, we're all cute and everything else and pretty. Seem really nice. You know, it's a whole different thing when you live together, isn't it, over time? You find out all that pretty and nice goes away.
Preach.
That cute little girl might not be the cute little girl anymore. You know, a cute guy, he might not be at all. I will tell you this, 99.9% of people, when they get married, once they get married, they start showing a side of themselves they never showed before.
Yep.
See, we have this selfishness thing. What we do is we show what we want to get what we want. Oh, yeah.
Amen.
Praise God. I'm a good preacher. I just want to let you know that. You see, I'm human. I know me. And I know if you ain't like what I'm talking about here, you a liar.
Preach.
And you get saved, you'll make it to heaven. Oh, don't worry. See, we do that. You know, we always want to put our best side first. I mean, that's just sort of the good thing you want to do. But it would be a good thing if people found out about people. You know, get an opportunity. See what a person's really like when they're, you know, get into a problem.
Amen.
See what they're really like. See what they're really like when you don't do exactly what they wanted. What are they really like? You know? Kenneth Hagin used to say this about women. He said, see how that guy treats his mom. Mm-hmm. see how he treats his mom. See, how does he treat ladies? How does he treat? Well, I'll tell you what. I'm just going to be honest. There ain't a lot of ladies today. They don't want to be ladies. They want to be one of the crowd, one of the boys, one of this. No. I married a lady. I still open my doors for her, and I still do those things. And she said to me, well, I can do it myself. I say, don't let the door hit you on the way out. I ain't married one of the guys.
Amen.
See, I show respect to my wife. See, we need to have, we've lost all these things. I was really glad at Rhema we had classes about doing this kind of thing. You see, we've lost all that. Guys, you know, just take care of themselves. They go their way and they don't pay any attention. You know, I watch all the time. I used to watch, you know, a guy come across the parking lot. He's, you know, 50 steps in front of his wife. He don't wait to see if his wife gets to make the door or not. He don't care. He comes in, walks in. And it's like, what on earth are you doing? That's your wife.
Amen.
Wife, you know, what goes on if this goes on? And this Bible says God finds a wife, found a good thing. Well, I just act like it's good.
Amen.
And if a guy's treating you that way when you're going with him, well, you're a fool. See, we've lost a lot of this stuff. This has to do with respect. And we thought, oh, now we're casual, yeah? And we dress and act, and our whole society has become casual and a stench in the nostrils of God.
Amen.
God's not casual. See, I like these days back to respect and things and stuff like that.
Amen.
Giving honor to whom honor's due. We in America don't honor anybody anymore. We just run everybody down. You see, we need to know. This stuff brings judgment. Then we pray, ask God, help our nation. And he's going, well, if I can just kill off this whole generation, we can maybe get something good going again. She's showing respect. We don't do it.
Amen.
We don't do it. And so we need to. See, we've got down to casualness. Casualness has turned around and ended into our entire life into things. And we take everything very casually. And we don't. We've lost respect of things. Lost honor of things. And I want you. We need to wake up in these kind of things. And wake up to this stuff. Praise God. Well, this in 2 Kings, we find out this Josiah, he became king. What happened to Josiah? When Josiah got to be 18 years old, one of the things that he did, he had a guy that was helping him out, was older than him, was over him, and really helped him out as coming in as king. Well, they reestablished the priesthood because, see, that was gone. See, in Malachi, what Malachi was about, in Malachi, when we read, they say about bringing the tithes and offerings in the storehouse. He said, so there's food in my house. Because, see, the church, the Israel at that time, they weren't doing temple worship anymore. So people weren't tithing. So the priesthood left the priesthood and went back out. They had to get jobs to go to work. See, most people don't care. You know, I would get a kick out of these people. Never go to church and they'll call me and say, I'd like you to do my wedding. And I always say, yeah, for $1,000, I'll do it for you. Wow, you don't put nothing into taking care of something. I just want something. You go out here. I go just live my thing. Why? He said, because why? When they weren't, they're supposed to take care of the priesthood. And they weren't. When they weren't taking care of the priesthood, then the offering stopped to God and the nation's under judgment. There's no offerings going up. The nation's under judgment. See, America's under judgment. We're under judgment. I don't care what these people say, and they can go through all their little yee-hoos and all kind of stuff. We're under judgment. We're dealing with problems. And we need to know this. I mean, just think about it. All this ugliness that went on over Biden, and people are still voting in these crazy liberals into offices. I mean, this crazy lady down in governor of Virginia, just after all kind of stuff in Virginia improved. And what do we have? The devil gets a kid in because why, people? Well, you improve stuff, yeah, but I still want all the stuff from the government free. You know, I got to have all my free stuff from the government, you know, because that's more important than anything. I don't want to be responsible for my life. I want to be taken care of. I want to have to trust God and do things. No, the government's my God. You know? I miss my stuff. People are doing it all over the place, you know? Well, look at this war. This is caused, you know? People don't even care that Iran would get nukes. And they have missiles that can reach thousands and thousands of miles. People don't even care. I'm going to pay higher gas prices to stop them. I'm going to tell you, I hope they drop a nuke on your house. What do you want, bunch of whiners?
Come on, preach.
Let's get it right about this stuff. I may have to do something, put out more out, do something. It's all right.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm not the center of this universe. And you aren't either.
Amen.
And most people think they are. And if they left this earth, it'd be a better place.
Amen.
We need to cop this whining.
Come on.
We're not going to settle these problems without things happening.
Amen.
They've been built over time. And I'll tell you what, the direction America's going right now, if there's not a change, we may see a great change of the worse. And I'm going to tell you what, when you do, you're going to see judgment follow that you ain't ever seen like in your life.
Amen.
See, we can hold off. Joash, he did good. He went along, and anyhow, he went and got back over the things. What happened to him in 2 Kings, in the 22nd chapter, we're going to read something, because what happened was he told the priest to go back. The temple had been used, so they're going in cleaning it out. They're getting this thing rebuilt again. Actually, they're having to go in and repair all kind of stuff in it. And they found the book of the law. Just think about this. Israel, they didn't even know the book existed anymore. And Jotham, the priest found the book, and he brought it to Joash, the king. And he said, and he read it to him. And when he did, here's what he did. He tore his clothes and wept. He said, we're under great judgment. He said, we got to do something. Christians read the Bible and don't even know. What Bible are we reading? We don't know if things are messed up.
Amen.
What Bible are we reading that we don't know things are messed up? This guy realized there's great judgment on here. Now, I want you to understand this, because you go over and you read Jeremiah. Jeremiah was during the time of the last four kings. And Jeremiah, all the time, prophesying about this stuff going on and that stuff. And those kings didn't mean nothing to them, because they had all these prophets right there. No, that's not going to happen here. We're Judah. God's going to take care of us. And everything's going to turn out all sweet. Yeah. Everything's going to be good. God's going to... Nebuchadnezzar's down. I know he's outside the door here. He's beating on it. And Nebuchadnezzar. And sure, he's got enormous armies that could just overrun. But God's going to spare us. And the prophets were killed.
Yeah.
Now see, we got guys today. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. God said, yeah, now this, yeah, yeah, hey, hey. And none of it happened. And see, and you know what? People don't think there's anything wrong with it, that nobody steps up and says, God, we need to repent. We've been wrong.
Amen.
We just go back and send the money. I'm sorry. People aren't preparing us, preparing the church. 1950, just think about it, 1950, the Lord said in a vision to tell this generation, to warn the generation of that time, of what? The judgment that's coming. We haven't seen it all to what it is. Kenneth Hagin admitted, he said there were some judgments took place. He said there's more to come. 19 and 30 years after that, he said there's more judgment to come. There is more to come. You see, God forgives, but what's planted is going to come down the road. It's what it is. I'm sorry. This is Bible principles. It's just what it is. But anyhow, thank God for this guy. He did the right thing. What he did was he went and sent these guys, and they went to a prophetess. And they went to this prophetess, and she spoke to them, and she said, listen to verse 15 of 2 Kings 22. What God was looking at concerning this one, he says, then she said to them, thus says the Lord God of Israel, tell the man who sent you to me. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will bring calamity on this place and on this inhabitants, all the words of the book which the king of Judah has read, because they have forsaken me and burnt incense to other gods, that they might provoke me to anger, and all the words, works of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall be aroused against this place and shall not be quenched. But as for the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord in this manner, you shall speak to him, thus says the Lord God of Israel, concerning the words which you have heard. Because your heart was tender, and you humbled yourself before the Lord when you heard what I spoke against this place and against its inhabitants, that they would become a desolation and a curse, and you tore your clothes and wept before me, I also have heard you, says the Lord. Surely, therefore, I will gather you to your fathers, and you shall be gathered to your grave in peace, and the eyes shall and your eyes shall not see all the calamity which I will bring on this place. They brought back the word to the king. You see here from a leadership standpoint, we take this guy here because he did what was right. Here again, he was a reprieve. See, Donald Trump, the Lord told me specific, Donald Trump has been a reprieve. It's not stopped any judgment. You see, the reprieve, Trump in his first election, he was a reprieve. And when he, the day after the election, I talked to the Lord. I said to the Lord about that when Biden got to be president. Because I just knew the whole time that Biden was going to win and he wasn't going to get, I knew Trump wasn't going to get back in. I just knew it. And all the prophets are, oh, yay, hey, yay, yay, nay, nay, and all this kind of stuff. And I just knew inside of me. I mean, I knew this thing ain't going to happen. Say, how'd you know? God never told me nothing, but I just knew inside of me. Everybody talking about Trump was going to be president, inside me there was a sort of a sour note. I just, this ain't going to work. This ain't going to be. See, and then people, oh, they throw blame here and there. Well, the Lord told me who was to blame. The church, number one. The church was to blame. You see, the church thought they did all kind of glory and that stuff to get him in the first place, and they didn't. He said, Trump is a reprieve. Well, at that time, I didn't know what a reprieve was. So I went and looked it up and found out a reprieve. In other words, there was a judgment set to come. Something is judged, and there's a sentence to be carried out. And a reprieve is this. It holds off that sentence for a time. But that sentence stands. You know, you get a reprieve from a person, like, you know, in a sense, a person who's on parole is on a reprieve in a way. Now, if he does wrong on there, he goes back and the sentence stands, everything on that sentence stands. Plus, he gets tried for being on parole, breaking parole, which will add to his sentence. See, you just, it compounds itself. See, Israel's been compounded. Israel's been compounding trouble. Many Christians have compounded trouble. They get right for a while, then they get left for a while. They get right for a while. But it causes trouble and it sets judgment. It says people need to know, God is very forgiving, but there's costs to things. Hearing this guy becomes a reprieve. God withholds this great judgment. And see, here's why it's right. It's number one, while we're here, we can do certain things, but you aren't going to end up keeping doing it and keep on doing it and keep on doing it. Eventually, it's going to come. If we go on to read all this, what we find out is this. There's four more kings that come up. There's four more kings till the fullness. Now, while these four kings are going on, they had the first king, Jehoaz. The king of Egypt comes up and takes over Jerusalem and hauls him off to prison. And hauls him away, takes all the treasures of Israel out, hauls them all. Then the Pharaoh who did this is Pharaoh Necho. He put the kings and made Eliakim king. He appointed a king, but he changed his name to Jehoiakim. And he was in there and now just think, the evil happened, then he comes along and does the same jump. Now, this is what I never understood about people. They're doing a head direction and every time they're going along things ain't working out and they just keep doing it that way like it's going to change. It's going to get better. You know, if things ain't working out, check what you're doing. No. You might not need to do as much praying as you think you're doing, trying to ask God to bless you if you're doing wrong because your seed's coming in. Change what you're planting. Yeah. Now all of us have got caught in this stuff, haven't we? See, this is why change. See, we don't want to, America, you don't ever have to change. Americans will take care of you while you just destroy yourself. They'll give the drug addict needles. They'll do, Americans are the most sick, perverted bunch of people. We'll just keep doing the thing, helping you destroy yourself and telling you, we love you.
Come on.
Because, we don't want anything to cause any discomfort or pain. And I want everybody to like me, so I'm just going to do whatever it is, keep them happy. So they don't, nobody doesn't like me. I don't want it if you don't like me. I just don't, I just tell you, it breaks my heart. Okay, I'm over it. Anyhow. We do things and we call love to people, and it's not. Love brings correction and things. I said, no, there must be change. You know, it's like people, I get calls all the time. People say, well, we need help or this and that. I tell them, come to church. You need to make a change. You're going to have to be taught to be different or anything, or you're going to stay and keep having the same problem. And I just tell them, I will not take care of you all the time. I will not do that. Because it'd be foolish to do it.
Amen.
The prodigal son didn't get help from his dad till he came home. His father wasn't sending welfare checks to him. Mm-hmm. You had to make a change.
Come on, that's
not us. Keep living your hellish life. We love you.
Preach.
We don't love anybody but ourselves.
Preach.
It's self-love. Self-love. It's like, no, there's got to be a change.
Amen.
Or the problem's going to persist. I mean, it's just... It's just the way it is. It's like I said, you know, I shot myself in the foot over a lifetime a number of times and numbers of times. But it was me, you know. You do things. I don't know why we expect doing the wrong thing you're going to get a good result.
Amen.
But we do. We're the greatest enablers of people. We don't help people that have gone into hard times. We're helping people that ain't getting into old times. They ain't doing nothing. They ain't doing a thing. And we're taking care of them. They're living their life of pleasure and whatever else so they can do. And we're taking care of them. It's like, that's not good.
Amen.
I want to have a different life. You know? I'm not responsible for everybody's babies.
Come on.
I'm not responsible. See, we got all this. We got to take care of it. No, I don't.
Amen.
I can't take care of it all. I ain't wearing my life out, dying prematurely and being miserable in my life so I'm miserable to my wife and everything else just because I'm trying to take care of everybody else.
Come on.
Can't do it. $34 trillion of debt. And most of it's been taking care of people that ain't taking care of themselves. We're insane. And until we tear our clothes and admit it,
amen,
you can pray night and day. Judgment's coming.
Amen.
This is why we've had this. God in His mercy has given us a reprieve. He didn't give it because of our spirituality.
Come on.
I'm going to tell you, America today is like the last four kings.
Mm-hmm.
The last four heathens. And it'll run out. But I want you to say, I want you to see something. You take from Manasseh the number of kings all between until God finally said, this is it, we're wiping the bowl. Okay, it's done. That's it. That's what the prophecy was. I'm wiping the bowl, this is over. Do you realize how the patience of God, His mercy? He let him in that long. See, don't ever take that you're getting away with it because judgment don't come quickly.
Come on.
Don't ever get the idea God forgot about it. The word's coming to pass.
Amen.
The words. See, this is put in here. You know, it's like we have, why do we have laws like with speed limits and this stuff? It's about safety. Why does God do this? It's about safety. It's not to hamper your life. It's to keep you from being so stupid. I know, I was Mr. Stupid.
Come on.
What it's there for? It's protection. You're living in a world that there is a devil. And I don't know how many billions of demons are in this world.
Amen.
And they're all out there trying to kill you.
Come on, it's rich.
And so why would you want to gang up with them?
Amen.
This is our, these things are our protection. We have warning. See, God goes along. He's so patient. He's, and I looked at this thing, I thought, how patient is God?
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
How patient He was. You know, you and I would have, we'd have wiped them out a long time ago. We would have done, that's it. I've had it with this group. They're so stupid. They ain't gonna. God was patient and kind.
Amen.
See, in my life, gosh, I can see God was patient and kind. He put up with me. See, you got to see about yourself how patient God has been with you.
Amen.
You're not as sweet and cute as you think you are.
Amen.
It's He's so darn good.
Amen.
He is so sweet and kind and whatever. He's so wonderful and gracious and good. And see it that way. You know, we build this, these towers of ours of what we think we are and everything else. And it's, no, what we are is because of Him.
Amen. Well,
nothing good or glorious about us. The glory that I have was given by Him. And I didn't earn it. I didn't earn glory. You know, one night I decided to accept Jesus and got born again. Dear God, took me a no good, rotten hellion, turned him into a child of God and called him to the ministry. I mean, what on earth? But see, that was His doing. It wasn't my doing. It was His work. And I found this over time. See, I knew why the Lord told me to walk close to Kenneth Hagin's teaching. Why? So I can get where I'm at today. So I can see what I'm seeing today. Because you can't see. Too many people are just talking sweet stuff. I'm sorry. I'm tired of seeing people beat up, knocked down, kicked around in the church world. There's so many people. I mean, you take from your standpoint here. You go out here, so many Christians are. Man, when they talk about being Christians, you're in two different classes. You don't. They aren't even. I mean, we're not. It's almost like we're living on different planets. I mean, it's we're talking, you know, some language from, you know, some other planet somewhere, and they're down here. And I wonder sometime what planet they are, if they're just, you know, the devil just dominates them. I don't know, but this is what we're dealing with. Now, number one, we ain't trying to hurt them or do nothing to them, but we need to understand condition. We need to understand people need to be told what was right.
Yes.
Amen.
Say, no, you can't do that. That's wrong. No, that's wrong. No. When you look at people, say, no, I can't go along with that. No, I'm not going to do that.
Amen.
No, we're not doing that. Well, we would have liked to, and we're going to have this. You know, I found out with things. You know what? See, I go to church. I have all my Christian life. I went to church on Sundays. You know, and every time my family want to have a get-together, they want to have it on Sunday.
Come on.
They want to have it on a Sunday morning. That's my family. They always want to do that Sunday morning. And so they'd always call and tell me, and they were going to, you know, start. And I used to, I'd just tell them, say, well, when church is over and whatever, I'll be there. You know, I'll be there. So they would go down, they'd go to Virginia, and they always have the thing on Sunday. And I'd say, no, I'm going to be on church on Sunday. I'm going to be on church
praise
on Sunday.
God.
Well, you know, we're having this come down and say, well, you know what my family did after a while? They found out Ed was going to church. And they wanted to have Ed there. They changed what they did.
Amen.
See, we don't think we have no influence. And you know why we don't? Because we never use influence. And they drag us to whatever they want to.
Amen. Preach.
So I tell them, you want to be where I'm at? I'll tell you where I'm at. You can come see me.
Amen. Amen.
I'm going to tell you what, I learned this. Whoever can call you out to what, they're going to turn around and direct your life, and you watch, your kids will follow. They'll have their things that become important.
Come on.
And they'll, and after a while, they ain't following God. They don't follow. We don't need to go to church because we can go over here and do this. What did the world do? They went to, see, Wednesday night was a church night. Mm-hmm. What did the world do? The schools all started holding their stuff Wednesday nights. The devil in the churches. Why? So, wait, we can shut down church. This is what, and what do Christians do? Yeah, it's more important. It is much more important to be in the sports.
Come on,
that's right.
Preach.
That's right.
Because maybe you can be good at it, and then you can go to college, and they'll give you some money. So it is worth missing God. But don't be surprised. You're going to have things happen in your life, and uh-huh. things are going to go on, and you're going to be
that's
one day
right.
wondering where God's at and asking everybody else to pray for you.
Preach.
Yep.
Preach.
Because they can't call you to pray for anybody who don't know enough to do it.
Mm-hmm.
See, people don't think this stuff's important.
Amen.
You know what's important to God? You know, everybody, you know, like Kenneth Hagin, everybody said, well, you know, I went, you know, around these Rhema people because I'm a Rhema person. Coming through the school. All they talk about Brother Hagin, you haven't heard from God. Brother Hagin told one of the visions, Kenneth Hagin told Brother Reagan exactly how ministers should dress. Hardly any of the ministers today dress the way he said they were, God said they were supposed to dress. See, we're supposed to dress in dignity and like we're going somewhere. We're standing in an office, God's office. If the President of the United States doesn't walk around in blue jeans and stuff on, I ain't walking around you. When I stand in front, I'm representing Jesus Christ. The gift I have was given specifically by Him. People need to understand these things. See, we don't. See, we've lost this thing about dignity and honor and things. This is gone out of our culture. Casualness, God sees. God sees. You get to heaven, ain't going to be no casual. A lot of Christians are going to be disappointed here. Huh. It's not going to be casual. But thank God when you get there, either you get there first and your flesh, which you've been following, was here, will be gone, and you'll be there. And then when you do get it back, it'll be a good one.
Amen.
But nobody ever is gonna knock about the clothing that you have to wear. And you know what? They're dressing good in heaven.
Amen.
They ain't paying $100 for a pair of torn jeans in heaven. They're wearing silver and gold.
Amen.
See, I'm ready for the good suits. Now see, this kind of stuff, I know this gets people get nice. Shit. I'm just going to tell you what. We're talking about honoring God.
Amen.
See, you know, when I first came into the kingdom, they talk about going to church. You're going to see the king. You're going to get together with the king. See, the church has come together. We don't do that today. You wouldn't be allowed in the White House dressed as you are. You wouldn't go to an event at the White House dressed like that. You couldn't even get in. If a guy's going to go down and go in and see the president, he says, suit him. It's about honor. It's about dignity. You know, Donald Trump brought it back to our, you know, with our ambassadors. He just published out. He said, you've got to wear business formal. It's casual. You stand before other leaders, you look like a leader. I will tell you this, And it'll happen every time. If I walk in a store and I need help and I got a suit on, they'll come to me first. They'll let other people sit and they'll come to me first. You walk in there, hey, there's some, yeah, get that guy. We want to talk to him. Why? He looks like he has something or doing something. That guy in the torn up jeans, don't tell him. He might be, you know, he's probably eating at McDonald's. And folks, you didn't understand. You present yourself has a lot to do how people hold you in a place of integrity. Mm-hmm. See, we need, I know people don't like to hear this stuff. It's downright true anyhow, whether people like to hear it or not. Amen. You know, our president of the United States, every time you see him in a picture, he's in it. Wears a suit. He gets out there. What? Every president's done that. How come they didn't get catch him? You know, the United States, they said, I'll give it to them. All the presidents have acted like world leaders. In the church, we have very few leaders today. They don't act like leaders. You know? Guy 80 years old and up in front of a church and he's got his blue jeans on and his shirt hanging out up in front of the church here walking back and forth. Yeah, you know, God's called me. Yeah, God's called you to get a good pair of pants and a shirt on. Do something. That's what he's called you to. So you do that, you walk around here. Why? Because it speaks to these other people. No, it don't. Shall I tell you what you're going to do? People rise to whatever. You know, if you look like you're raggedy, don't see raggedy. People live raggedy lives. Don't do that. I'm just telling you, folks, respect yourself and who you are and what you are. Act like it's so.
Amen.
You know, I understand. I go places. If a person's poor and they don't have, that's fine. You know, doing that. But we can. I tell you, see, it's the thing with me. When I came in the kingdom, you want to start dressing good, going to church, you started doing that. You started dressing like you were. This was an important thing to do. This wasn't, I'm casually going in here and I can just walk out of here and go on a hike. See, what are people going to think? Say, we run into Jesus. What are we going to run into him like? I mean, think about that. If you were told you would come to, and Jesus is going to be there, what would you do? I'll tell you, there's a lot of Christians probably wouldn't come because they, oh man, he knows everything about me. they get somebody else on this thing. I don't think of me as the thing to do. I just. But I want to, I want you to get this kind of thing. I want you to understand this, which happens, because in the area of the judgment things, that people need to know and understand this, is this fact. When Obama ran for his first presidency, it was the first time he was going to run. I remember I was in one of Randall Greer's meetings, and Randall Greer talked about this. He said, anyhow, he was at a church. This was before the elections, and they were praying about the presidency. And he had a vision. He was walking back and forth. They had a service, but they were praying for this. And then he's walking back and forth on the platform. And he said he walked, he turned around and come back. And he said he looked and he said, didn't expect an oral. And he saw Jesus, and Jesus was sitting on a throne. And he said, Jesus pointed at him and said, don't you talk to me about the election anymore. And he said, he just stopped. He said, the people are going to get what they want. He said, they want Obama, they're getting him. And he said, then you tell them this, that they're going to have 1 Kings, the 8th chapter. Now, 1 Kings, the 8th chapter tells you what the king's going to do. In other words, he's going to take the best of everything. And then it says in verse 18 of the 8th chapter, it says, when the king does all this stuff, he said, you're going to call on me and I will not answer. I want you to understand this. And Obama came up for second election, and people prayed and prayed, and the prophets were out then. We got this thing. Even in Obama, you're going to like the way it turns out. Well, he got to be president. And the Lord reminded us of this. He said, I told you that you would call on me and I would not answer. Well, you need to understand this. We need to understand this. We're not going to consistently hold things off.
Amen.
We can get to the point where you can call on the Lord. In June 2021, minding my own business, not doing anything, I was I just got out of the shower, and you know, and I'm just doing this thing, you're trying to clean yourself up a little bit here, and you're doing it, and just out of the clear, the Lord said to me, "Judgment's coming, and they'll call on me, and I will not answer." And I thought, man, I didn't know what to say. I mean, this was just so clear, said to me that I just stopped, and I thought, I almost didn't want to say anything or talk back. I just, because it was said so, just like, they'll call on me and I won't answer. Well, see, some people say, well, on who? Maybe that's somebody this, somebody that. Well, the world usually ain't calling much on God. But we need to understand, one of the things that we need to know about this is this fact. We need to find out with God things that are changeable. It's like Randy Greer told us about the election with the government, the governor down in Virginia, and also New Jersey. And people were asking him about praying for that. And he asked the Lord, and the Lord said, don't pray. He said, those elections are set. He said, the people are going to have what they want. See, people prayed and prayed and prayed about Obama's second term, and they never asked God. See, you can pray and pray and pray and not get an answer. We just think we're just going to make everything true. There's things that are set, and we've got to find out what's set and what's not. What's changeable and what's not changeable. We need to find out. We have these things coming up with these elections, and people are praying. I'm just going to tell you, there's some stuff set. There's some stuff set. People in America, they're more interested in their fleshly things being taken care of than they are, you know. The government is God. To most Christians, well, the economy is working right or not. What the things that are really important are not important to us, you know. We're so, is the economy is so important. We want to have a good economy. But wouldn't it be better to be spiritual first? No, we just got to have a better economy because I have enough money to do all my stuff, and then we'll spiritual on the side, walk with God. We need to be very careful about these things. Very careful about this, of what we feel is important, what's important to do. We have to stop and decide on these things about our lives. See, things cost. It's just like in a natural. If somebody's going to start, you're not going to start a business without spending money and time. This is why most people that complain about businesses would never start one, because they would never do what it takes to. They're not going to sacrifice a thing because I'll just tell the government what I need. This goes back in the 1980s when the Lord spoke to me and he told me that the God of America is a government. It's the God of America. And he's right. You can even look in Christianity. I mean, conservatism and Christianity are united together. I'm sorry. Not my Christianity. Not my Christianity. See, we have a whole thing and we think it's so important. We put so great emphasis on elections and not put enough emphasis on God about elections. What about God? See, we're just going to tell him what we want to do and what we want. There's things out here that are set. And we need to know that. See, we think we can just bypass everything and all that's set and done by man And we're just going to bypass it all. And we're just going to yee-haw, get on our horse with our lasso, and we're going to get whatever, you know, lasso that Bronco. It don't work like that. There's stuff that has to be dealt with.
Amen.
And we need to see that.
Amen.
And things got, you know, I often thought about this. I mean, it doesn't seem like when you, to the standpoint fair, Manasseh lived to be 55 years old. He reigned for 55 years. Well, you think that man would have died as ugly as he was, died early. Yet you get Joash, he didn't last that long. Yet he walked with God and followed God. He was probably glad to get out of here. But going along, we need, you know, sometimes evil people stay a long time because God will let the people suffer with it. God let us suffer with Obama for two years. We suffered for what we did. The nation suffered for what they did. You see, that when Hurricane Sandy, and I'll use this as an example concerning the church. Hurricane Sandy years ago came in off the Gulf and came up to Florida down there. They were calling it up the coast. First, it was supposed to come up and hit into the Carolinas and end up through. But I remember it was, because I've seen over time, I mean, I know over time we were on vacation. Hurricanes come along and everybody left. We stayed and I spoke to hurricanes. I said, now they ain't coming here. They won't be here because I'm on vacation here. But I found out over time what happens was over time, today you can't do as much of that because of the godlessness of America. You can't keep judgment off. Hurricane Sandy was a proof to me of that. Hurricane Sandy was supposed to come up through. I'll never forget this. I can tell you, I can just remember like it happened the other day. I went outside my place, looked down to the southeast and looked down and said, that hurricane, you turn and you go out to sea. Well, if you say this mountain, be thou cast in the sea. So you speak to stuff. Well, I went out there and spoke to it. And you know what? That hurricane backed off the coast of Florida and set for a couple days, but it didn't, it just backed off probably and just set. Didn't come in on the Florida, just sit out there. Something inside of me was like, something's wrong here. See, I have enough sense to know. You got to listen on your own inside. People don't. They just keep going, I'm walking in faith. I'm just, yeah, go ahead. All right. And I said, the Lord, I said, what's going on here? He said, you can't keep that hurricane from coming up here. He said, even the Christians are calling it up here. Now, wasn't what they're saying. Found out later, it was Christians' dirty lives. Judgment. Christians' dirty lives. See, it calls for what? It wasn't calling for a hurricane, it was calling for judgment. Why was it judgment? Judgment came to turn people around, back the Christian back to God, and they didn't pay any attention. They're just like the last four kings. All the judgment came. All the judgment. You know, how much more spiritual is America since COVID? You know, we only get spiritual when bad things happen. We want God to do something for us to fix me so I can go back and live like hell again.
Come on.
It's all we want.
Come on.
That's what the kings were doing, the last four kings. Just God, fix me so I fix this so I can go back to my stuff. And we get judgments after judgments after judgments coming. And there's more judgments to come. In September 2021, the Lord showed me a judgment that's coming here in America. A judgment. And I just, you know, it's another thing. I mean, I wasn't seeking for a vision or looking for anything like that. It was one of those things that just happened. And I saw it and it's like, there's things coming. It's not good in this nation. There's not good. There's things coming. Now, the whole thing of it is can I tell you, if there's not a turning back to God, if there's not a turning, see, we don't need God for just fix my problems and I'm not going. If I'm not going to change, there is no reason. Just let it go. See, I have to change.
Amen.
See, these things are done as warning. This is about mercy. We don't see it as mercy. We don't think judgment has to do with mercy. The judgments that came upon these kings was the mercy of God. He had already spoken and told them how bad and how awful it was going to be. They knew. Yet they stayed on the path. Yet he held it off and gave them time and gave them time. And you think he didn't know they weren't going to change? You think we'd have figured it out by now.
Come on.
But the church hasn't. We just keep prophesying, fine, glory, 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 glory. I believe a lot of people are going to come into the kingdom, but not because of how people think about glory. There's going to be a great need to call on God. There's going to be a great need to want Him. That people want to find out the governments in this world, they're pretty rotten and stink.
Amen. Preach.
Governments ain't God.
Amen.
There's a God in heaven who wants to bless you, bless Amen. Your life. And see, this is the thing. I'm not afraid about what's ahead. I'm not afraid about it.
Amen.
You know, I always look at Jeremiah. Jeremiah, if you read the book of Jeremiah, that deals with those last four kings. That's what it's about. And it's not a pretty book. It's the first book that the Lord had me study, the book, when I came in the kingdom. I had the first one, so I thought, all these people, read the book of John. They should have read Jeremiah. They would be a lot better Christians. But I read it. But there's one thing, see, as I learned through that, I learned about God's mercy. This is one thing, as I learned not to be afraid. There was a group in there. All this devastation, and God told the prophet to call this one group in there, and he told, see, they paid honor to their fathers and that stuff. They walked in honor and stuff. And all this stuff, he said, because you did right, and you've walked in honor, and you haven't been like the rest of these heathens around here. He said, don't you be concerned. Everything's going to turn out all right for you guys. You won't be destroyed, but the rest of them will. And it happened that way. See, I'm not worried.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
I'm not worried. See, we need to come to this place. See, the reason people, you know, you need to know where you stand. Do you know where you stand? You know what you, see, I do. These things are to get us in a place, that stuff. We don't have to fear. We don't have to worry. If I walk right, I don't have to worry.
Amen.
God will look after us. God will take care of things. Now, I'm going to tell you what, they lived through some bad stuff. I mean, judgment, I'd hate to see a judgment that came on Israel and in Jerusalem. I mean, Jerusalem got the point. I mean, Nebuchadnezzar surrounded, people were eating their children. Things got really ugly and bad. I mean, it was a horror that went on. It didn't last 2 weeks. It went on and on and on. And you still had prophets saying, don't worry, God's going to come and deliver us. Yeah, don't worry. It's all going to be, yeah. Yeah, God's going to do this and that stuff. And the prophet's saying, no, no, no. The last king, he knew that Jeremiah's prophecy was right. But he was afraid of his other leaders because they're on this hook of God's going to take care of this thing. So he wouldn't say nothing. Yet he'd tell Jeremiah, I know you're right. What a stupid man. This is what happened to him. He got to watch Nebuchadnezzar kill all his sons. He had to stay and watch it. Then Nebuchadnezzar took his eyes out, hauled him up, and put him in prison where he died. All because he's afraid, because these other guys, I don't know. See, they believe everything's going to turn out right. I know you're right about this. Because the prophet told him, turn yourself over to King Nebuchadnezzar and you'll be all right. He won't kill you if you turn yourself over. No, because these guys that keep saying, everything's going to be good. Well, I ain't scared of everybody says, all these guys that say everything's going to be all right. I ain't scared of none of them. Because we're going to stand before Jesus one day.
Amen.
We're going to stand before Jesus and we're going to hear.
Amen.
We're going to hear one day. Hallelujah. And you know, we need to be a people. We're not, we're in a time and the Antichrist spirit and stuff's rising up and things. And the greatest thing that you and I can do is walk with God.
Amen.
We need to have an influence in this earth of godliness. This is what we have. It's not a time to be afraid or fear. We need to walk right.
Preach.
For other people's sake. For other people's sake. If you love other people, you walk right, you live right.
Amen.
for other people's sake. Because I tell you, I realize there's people who don't want to listen to a thing, you know. You know, there's the ungod in control crowd of Christianity and everything, and God's in control. Well, I can always tell that they're out of control, you know, because, you know, the whole idea. We need to understand the responsibility on this side that we hold.
Amen.
As Christians. And not be afraid, saying, God's given you authority.
Amen.
To stand in your place of authority. Take your place of authority. You know, we talk about being kings and priests of God. Do you ever look at pictures of kings and priests? Well, what do they look like? You know, look like you're in a position. Look like you are. You know? I mean, I'm working in the yards. I'm in my jeans and all that kind of stuff. You're doing that kind of things. But I'll tell you, we need to show a greater respect. We need to do things, and especially in honor of people. You know, I'm not wearing a suit to everything, but I'll at least dress decent.
Amen.
You know? And does anybody think it's not demonic that people want to wear torn up clothes? No, I'm just going to tell you. That's demonic. That's not even natural thinking. There's places in this world they'd like love to have a pair of jeans that didn't have holes in it.
Amen.
And Americans are spending hundreds of dollars. No, tear them up as much as you can. And we're going to wear them. You know. And we'll pay more money if you tear them up. No, people don't like to hear this stuff. Let's get over it.
Amen.
Let's get down where the rubber meets the road on this stuff.
Yeah.
Does that sound like what on earth? Why are people dressing? It's like let's look bad, you know. You buy a shirt, pull off the rack. They're made to look wrinkled. You know, it's made to look like you just got hit in traffic, and you know. Well, I'm just sorry. You know, they do that. You know, you got a hairstyle. Looks like, you know, a bird nest. It's like, what on earth are we doing? None of this is going to be in heaven. Hell's full of it. It's not going to be in heaven. See, and people don't realize it. This is about respect for yourself. Treat yourself with respect. Don't join the crowd, because I found out the crowd never respects anybody.
That's right.
The crowd, each one of them, they're on their own and they're doing their thing and they're just doing it. And they, you know, I'm doing what somebody else wants because they like the crowd. I have to because I'm so weak and willed and everything else. I got to go on with everybody else so I can feel good about me. And the whole time the people that are around don't care about
them. Amen.
Treat yourself with great respect. Treat yourself with honor. Do that. I'm going to tell you what. It will change you. I found out the more I do these things, I tell you, the more you walk and you stand up straight, the more you do, you treat yourself, you are somebody. You're a child of God. Think about it. You are God's child. Does that, I'm going to ask you, does that mean anything to you? Other than, yeah, I got my sins forgiven. Well, then you don't know what you are.
Come on.
That's right.
I am God's kid.
Amen.
Amen.
God converses to me about what goes on down here.
Amen.
You know why God don't converse to a lot of people? They're of this world.
Come on.
He knows who he can talk to. Amen. He knows who he can talk to about down here. He knows who he can. I'm not of this world. I'm just
Amen.
Telling you that.
Amen.
I got a home and it ain't here.
Amen.
And my thinking leads into a whole different way of believing and a whole different way of walk.
Amen.
It leads to a level of faith that's whole different. I'm not one of the crew. I'm not that
Amen.
Child of God.
Amen.
Born of God. I'm the King's son. I'm seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Yeah, Jesus, don't worry, he got torn up jeans and he got his stuff on and he's got enough tattoos to get on. Don't worry. He's looking good. I'll tell you what. Yep. Yeah, you got 47 nose rings and earrings yet. Yep, sir. We're looking good, you know. We're not. You know, I got a big tattoo of Jesus. Well, why don't you just live for him? That'll be a good one.
Amen.
Why don't you live like he's Lord?
Preach.
Having pictures of him, and don't, you know, I see a lot of those people in my cars and they have that their fish on there. I always wonder, does that mean they eat fish? I don't know. I don't know what that means. Because I tell you what, just because you put a sticker on something, that ain't make it something.
Amen. Preach.
We ain't put stickers on that stuff. I'll tell you what. But I'll tell you, live like you're God's king. When you're about yourself, how God views you, what he thinks of you.
Amen.
See, we live in a world, they generally don't think of you the way that God does. So you got to see, when you look at Scripture, look how, you take the book the letters written to the church of Corinth. Now here's some pretty backslidden people. Now, but you know, Paul talks about who and what they are. And these people, they're God's kids. They're different. We need to see in ourselves of what we are. See, it's one thing, as I found out, my children, when we started living what we are, what we're, you know, it's like with me, I got saved before Wanda, but the biggest thing for me that changed Wanda concerning me was how I changed. I didn't become more casual. I became a guy she could trust. I became a God that was on her side. And I started honoring her, which I never did before. See, it's give honor and two honors due. See, there's honor that goes back and forth between a husband and wife. There's an honor. And see, you got to live and walk in that.
Amen.
And, you know, so many people, they do these things from the natural. Let's get over it. Let's become spiritual about these things. Let's become to these things and that stuff concerning our leadership and things in the home, that we take our place that we have, that we complement one another, and we're not, you know, we're not at odds with people. One, and I ain't at odds with you. We get everything, agree on everything. We don't. If you agree with everything, you probably lied sometime along the line.
Amen. Preach.
And all liars will be in the lake of fire, so I don't think that's a good idea. But you know, if we're going to do something, I'll just tell you what, and it comes down to it. I can be the last word. Sometimes, as a leader, I'll give her the opportunity to make a last word on it. I'll give her that. But I'm a leader, I can do that.
Amen.
But you, we don't like to have that kind of stuff. We're 50-50, and we both have to agree on it for it to happen. Well, this is what? You're going to have a lousy marriage, and nothing good ain't going to come out of it because you ain't going to agree on everything. And so what necessarily needs to be done ain't going to get done. Well, I don't think it ought to go that way. Well, why'd you get married?
Come on. Preach.
Preach. See, hold it, put the brakes on. Nobody's going to like everything that goes on.
Amen.
I don't even like what I go on sometimes. I just. But the whole thing is, there's one thing I'll do is I'll take responsibility for what's mine. I will take responsibility. It's my thing. I won't throw it over on my wife. I won't do that. See, I don't mind. I don't mind the praise you can get from being in charge, and I don't mind the whatever else you get.
Amen.
And sometimes it ain't good being in charge. I don't mind either.
Amen.
I don't lose any sleep at night over none of that.
Amen.
It's being in this world. And see, we're trying to be our home is not a democracy. Heck, our kids never had a vote. The only time we gave them a vote, if we'd already made the decision to do. Make them feel like they were getting something. But you need to understand, we didn't have a democracy. A home ain't a democracy. How's a democracy working in our nation? Uh-huh.
Come on.
Why? When it started off, they weren't mostly heathen. Now they're mostly heathen, both parties. Don't work well, does it? Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Before we go, we're going to be taking an offering before we go, our missions offering. I know it went a little bit long here, but some of these things just need to be said and going through for us. Hallelujah. Praise God. I want you to be afraid of the future. I want you to be confident of your future. Hallelujah. And God, that godliness pays, man. Is if God would spare a nation because a leader would walk right, would put a hold on, would God spare a family if a leader walked right?
Preach.
See, this is why I always walk right. I always did it for my family. Wasn't just for Ed.
Amen.
Did it for my family. Amen. I'm a leader here in this church. I'm going to walk right for your benefit.
Amen.
I'm going to do what's right. A leader. See, we don't have that today. People are doing for their own personal. You need to understand this. My reward is those under me are blessed.
Amen.
That's my reward. My reward. I love the thing. Wanda and I started Wanda liked shoes a lot. And you know what? We couldn't afford a lot of shoes. And I can buy her now as many as she wants.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you what, that blesses me.
Praise Amen. God.
If she wants, you want to buy shoes, you go buy them. We wouldn't start there. And see, to me, is see, I want to be able to, so her life can be blessed. I want her to have, I want her to be blessed. I want her, see, I do what I do. It's not all about me.
Amen.
It's about, I'm blessed to be able to bless her.
Amen.
That's right.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm not one of those guys that thinks everything else is important to me. The wife shouldn't have this or shouldn't have this. And well, what is it you shouldn't have?
Amen.
Well, mine's important. It's for the, well, hers is important too.
Amen.
I thought, now sometimes you put others more important than yourself. You get into that Bible thing, you know. Consider others more important than yourself. You know? Oh, got to do that. We're going to this now? It's amazing how God blessed me.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
That's
right.
See, this is a wonderful thing God has done. And see, let's go to this place. Let's go to this place where, you know, you live together. It's not just a thing to live together. You can cooperate with each other and that stuff. You ain't at each other. It don't matter. You know, you don't hold a grudge for, you know, 2 weeks or something and you didn't like or something like that. And that stuff don't go on. And getting over those things, you know. I can stay mad for 15 minutes at least. And after that, if I go any longer than that, see, be angry and sin not.
Yeah.
He didn't say he couldn't be angry. I can be angry. But when it starts going over to, toward the sin side where, can I choke her, Lord, please? Just, I ain't going to kill her. I just make her wish she was dead. Nah, you never been there, none of you people. See, when you say, I ain't going to let that happen. We're stopping that right here.
Amen.
See, you can be angry about things. See, don't listen to these Christians. Well, I don't ever get angry. Well, you get saved, you would.
Amen. Preach.
You'll quit your lying. Because we know. We'll run into people and they'll tell us what you did when you were angry. Let's get angry and sin. And if you sin, repent quick. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. See, we don't, no, don't let the sun go down on your wrath.
Mm-hmm.
Don't allow it to. I'll tell you, before we go to bed, it's fixed.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It don't mean we agree with each other. We just agreed in this fact. We ain't going to carry this thing on. This is done.
Mm-hmm.
That's our agreement.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Don't go no further than this. Hallelujah. Good night. You know, that's it. Sleeper good. Hallelujah. Praise God. Father, we just want to say thank you, Lord God, for your goodness. Lord God, I pray in the name of Jesus. Lord, this is not doom and gloom for the church. Lord God, we're hungering and thirsting for righteousness. We're after you.